Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You guys doing okay? Doing all right? Yeah? Okay. Hey, I'm glad to be back with you. I was gone last week. I was on kind of a vacation. My family went. We spent a couple days in Raleigh, North Carolina, where my wife's family has moved to from Buffalo, New York. And then my mother and my sister and her family came down to Virginia Beach. My mom rented kind of a beach house, and we stayed there for about a week, which is cool because we lived in Virginia Beach for 12 years before moving here almost 3 years ago. And so we got to see old friends and our church that we were at and started. And so it's pretty cool. And today, we're doing something kind of different. I actually want to talk to you about vacation, so it's kind of appropriate. I want to tell you kind of a theory I have about vacations and see if you agree or not. It'll be up to you, all right? I love vacations. Anybody love? I know we asked you before, but you guys, right? Fun, yeah? And there's a lot to love about vacations, I think, right? Like one of my favorite things is even before you go on a vacation, it's the sense of expectancy that a vacation brings. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you're going to go on a vacation, you start getting excited about it and talking about it, and like you encourage each other. You're like, it's okay. Vacation's 2 weeks away, right? And you're kind of like, no, we can deal with this. Vacation next month. And there's just a sense of expectancy. And you start planning. And even if you don't like planning, it's fun to plan for a vacation. Some years ago, my family, we went for the first time ever to Disney World. My kids are now 12 and 10. They were, I don't know how old they were, 7 and 5 maybe. And so we bought this book that helps you plan your trip to Disney World. This book has scientific equations and mathematical logarithms to help you plan the order of rides to go in to avoid the long lines and get the most rides that you can in one day. I am not kidding. I spent hours and hours with this book planning out exactly what we would do, like the exact order of rides, where we would eat, what time my kids could go to the bathroom. All of it. Like it was down on paper. It was like, this is the plan. But it was fun to plan because it was for a vacation. And when you're going on vacation, there's just this great sense of expectancy and hope and excitement. And it's just great. And then finally, the day arrives and you leave, right? You get in your car to drive, or you get in an airplane to fly somewhere. And there's just this cool sense of, man, we are going on a journey. You know, a lot of life just feels too stationary. It's like we're always doing the same, but it's like now we're actually going somewhere. And that's just a cool part of vacation. There's a journey aspect to it. And that journey takes you out of your routine. Now, I realize that routines are not all bad. You know, that some routines are probably good and you need a little bit of that. But some of us, man, we just get stuck in our routines, don't we? It just feels like all life is a routine. Like we're just stuck in the same old, right? I mean, you wake up at the same old time when the same old alarm clock goes off. You get out of the same old bed. You stagger into the same old bathroom. You look at the same old face in the same old mirror. You brush your same old teeth. You walk down the same old stairs, the same old kitchen. You put the same old cereal and the same old milk in the same old bowl. Eat it with the same old spoon. You read the same old newspaper. You kiss the same old wife. You get in the same old car. You drive the same old road to the same old job. Sit at the same old desk. Listen to the same old jokes from the same old boss. Laugh the same old way. You clock out at the same old time. Get back in the same old car. Drive back through the same old road. Drive into that same old driveway. Walk into the same old kitchen. Hug the same old kids. Sit down to the same old dinner. Go into the same old living room, sit in the same old chair, watch the same old TV shows, fall asleep at the same old time, go upstairs and get in the same old bed, ask your wife the same old question, get the same old answer, roll over, set the same old alarm clock, and the next morning you get up and you do the same old thing all over again. And at some point you start to go, maybe I'm not really living. Anyone ever, you know, it's like, I know I'm existing, like I'm existing, but am I really living? Like this same old, this rut that I'm in, am I missing out on life? And that's part of what makes a vacation great is because it gets you out of that rut, right? For a couple days, for a week, however long your vacation is, it's like, yes, I'm getting out of the same old, and I'm going to get, you know, something new. And what you get when you go on a vacation is you get an adventure, right? There's this sense of, man, it's going to be an adventure. And even if, like me, you plan out the vacation, still there's some sense of, like, you don't know what's going to happen, right? It's like, you know, well, we got some plans, but who knows what we'll end up doing and what we'll end up eating and who we'll end up encountering, and it's just going to be exciting. I remember my wife and I have been married for 17 years, and when we got married, we got, like, I think, three-day honeymoon to the Bahamas, and we had 2 days planned, but one day we had no plans, so we rented a Jeep, and we just drove all over the island. So it's this great sense of adventure. It's like, man, we have no idea what's going to happen, and that's kind of the cool part of a vacation, right? You get an adventure, right? You trade away the routine, you get an adventure. The other thing that I love about vacations, and I'm sure you do too, is that it's relaxing, right? It's relaxing. Like, you just get to escape the worries and the stress, you know, the phone calls, the leaky faucet, the stack of bills, the nagging boss. You just get to kind of leave that all behind you, escape it, and you just get to chill out, right? And you're not weighed down by all the stuff you're normally weighed down by. And vacations are great. Vacations are great. Now, I want to tell you this theory that I have about vacations. But first, let's establish this. Did you know that when Jesus lived here on earth, when he met people, he basically never asked people to believe in him or to put their faith in him? That's probably what you would expect, right? That he would kind of go up to people and be like, hey, I'm Jesus, believe in me. Hey, man, how's it going? What's up? I'm Jesus, put your faith in me. But that's actually not what he did. It might be what we expect, but not what he did. What he actually did is he asked people to follow him. Be like, hey, I'm Jesus, follow me. Hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? I'm Jesus, follow me. And so Jesus requested people, wasn't believe in me, it was follow me. It's like, I am going somewhere, and I want you to go with me. Now, the reality is probably people wouldn't follow him if they didn't believe in him, but still, he didn't ask them to believe in him. He asked people to follow him. And he made a promise. He made a promise to people that if you say yes, if you follow me, I mean, really follow me, not just believe in me, like you go with me, you follow me, he made this promise that he would give life. Basically saying, you know, you have existence, I'll give you life. Like in John chapter 10, verse 10, we'll put it on the screen for you. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You might say, well, we already have life. We're living. And he's like, no, You have something. You have existence, but I can give you full, abundant life if you follow me. Now, that may surprise some of you. If you're honest, you might say, really? Because I always thought that Jesus came to bring religion. But the Bible says, no. Jesus came to do away with religion. Maybe you say, I always thought Jesus came, honestly, to bind us. The Bible says, no, Jesus came to release us. Maybe you say, I always kind of felt like Jesus came to kind of, I don't know, enslave us with like rules and regulations. The Bible says, no, Jesus came to give us freedom. And I'll tell you this, about 20 years ago, I kind of encountered Jesus for the first time. I saw who he was. I didn't know about him, I didn't believe in him, but I understood who he was. And I knew that his call is not believe in me, it's follow me. And I said yes. I was like, I want that. And so I said yes to following Jesus. And so now, for the last 20 years, I've been trying to follow Jesus. And I've been trying to understand, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, you can't see him, you can't hear him. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And some years ago, I came up with this theory. Here's my theory. That following Jesus should look a whole lot like going on a lifelong vacation. That following Jesus looks a lot like going on a lifelong vacation. I realize that sounds goofy, and you may at first glance go, that doesn't make sense. But stay with me. I'll kind of explain it and see what you think, okay? So, like vacations. One of the great things about vacations is that you have this sense of expectancy, right? It's like, man, you know, something exciting is going to happen. You know, it's going to be fun. I'll tell you this. Before encountering Jesus, before deciding to follow Jesus, the one thing my life lacked was expectancy. I would have told you my life was horrible. Reality, it was okay. But I had no hopes it would ever change. Like, I just thought, there's always going to be the same problems or some problems. And I mean, I'm sure something different is going to happen, but life's just not that great. You know, I had no sense of expectancy. until I started following Jesus. And that changed everything. Now, I have this sense of excitement and hope about what might happen because God promises it. In the Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we'll put this on the screen as well. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you," it says, declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God says, "I've got a plan for your life. There is something exciting coming." And so you can live with a sense of expectancy. And I'll tell you, what's happened for me in these last 20 years is I've started to experience the plans that God has for me. It gives me this feeling that every day when I wake up, I don't know what might happen that day. Because I know God's involved in my life and he's got this plan. And so it's not like something amazing happens every day, but it could. And it has often. And so every day I kind of wake up going, man, I wonder what's going to happen today. And following Jesus gives you a sense of expectancy, a lot like a vacation. One of the reasons that happens is because you find yourself now on a journey. You know, with vacations, one of the nice parts is, you know, we're not stationary anymore. We're dynamic. We're going somewhere. There's this interesting thing in the Bible. There's a bunch of verses that I didn't understand when I first started reading the Bible where it talks about walking with God. Like for us, it says you should walk with God. And then there's some verses that talk about walking with Jesus. And then there's a couple of verses that talk about walking with God's Spirit. And I'm like, what's all the walking? Like, what's the deal with the walking? And I'm not completely sure still. But part of it is that there's this implication that you're going somewhere. Right? Like, it's not just about believing and, yes, I've changed my mind about what I believe about God. It's about I am journeying through my life with God. We're going somewhere together. To believe in God, to follow Jesus, is to go on a journey. I'm not static anymore. I'm not stationary. I'm going somewhere. And that journey that he takes you on, it takes you out of your routine, that same old that a lot of us are stuck in. And what it does is it gives you an adventure. You get an adventure. Here's what I would challenge you to do. Sometime, read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. Those are the books that describe Jesus' life here on earth. And study the lives of the people who decided to say yes and follow Jesus. Here's what you'll find. Finding Jesus did not turn them into people who were very respectable and went to church on Sunday mornings wearing the right clothes and acting very polite because they had good manners. That's not what happened to people who followed Jesus. What happened is that the people who followed Jesus got an adventure. Their lives became dangerous. Their lives became too much for them. It became so exciting, so dangerous, so crazy that they couldn't handle it, but they were with Jesus, and so they weren't alone. And so it's like, you know what? I can't do this, but God's with me, and he's walking with me, and I'm following Jesus, and so this thing is working. But they got an adventure. And here's the deal. It's not just people who lived 2,000 years ago. It's not just people we read about in the Bible. Everyone who authentically, truly, passionately follows Jesus gets an adventure. Everyone. It's what's happened in my life. I mean, I could tell you story after story about things that have happened in the last 20 years. I'm like, I couldn't make this stuff up. I couldn't dream it up. But the things that have happened to me are amazing, and it's because I'm following Jesus. And it's not just me. It was really cool last week. So I started this church in Virginia Beach in 1997, a lot like Verve. And I was there for 12 years and then moved here about 2.5 years ago. But it was cool because I hadn't been back to Virginia Beach for 2 years and 8 months. And so I got to catch up with a lot of people and kind of hear what's happened since I've been gone. And just hearing about the adventures that God has given these ordinary people. Like there's this one lady in our church named Monica. Monica, probably upper 30s, got a couple kids, married. She's a nurse. So some years back, our church in Virginia Beach, we adopted this village in the mountains of Vietnam. This village, I mean, the people there, you wouldn't believe it if you saw it. They still live like, you know, 2,000, 4,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. They have no health care at all. They got no nothing. They sell their kids to people to make money. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. But we've come in and we've given them clean water. They drank water from the river that goes through their village, which has water buffaloes walking through it and pooping in it, and that's what they drink in. Had to get poop in here today. Thank you very much. But we've gone in, and it's a miraculous story. The Vietnamese government, the atheistic, communistic Vietnamese government, asked me if we would please have our church adopt this village and help them. It's crazy. And we said yes, and we started doing trips there to help them. Monica, nurse, starts going over and giving them just some basic health care that they've never had. She's about to make her fourth trip to Vietnam, and she and her family are starting to pray about moving to this village and just living there and being a part of really helping those people. Man, Monica decided to follow Jesus, and what he gave her was an adventure. One of my best friends in Virginia is named Mike. And we used to meet a lot, like for lunch and stuff. And Mike would always say, man, following Jesus has changed my life. I just want my friends to experience it. And they have no interest, none. And he had this best friend named Rick. And he kept inviting Rick, man, come to church with me. You know it's changed my life. Maybe it would change yours. And I actually got to meet Rick once or twice. He came, I think, on an Easter. And he came to a class I taught once. And he just seemed like a guy who was just stuck in the same old. And he just seemed like that guy to me. And Mike kept inviting him. He would get creative and find new things to invite him to, new ways to invite him, and just no interest. And then one day, Mike is standing in the lobby of his church, and in walks Rick and his family. And he's like, weird, why are you here? And he's like, I don't know. And then he came back the next week, and the next week, and the next week. And pretty soon, Rick had his own encounter with Jesus, and he said, man, this is real, and I want to follow Jesus. Rick's life has been completely transformed. In fact, Mike was telling me that when the tornadoes hit Joplin, Mike's phone rings, and it's Rick. And Rick says, dude, we got to go. Mike was like, what are you talking about? He's like, let's get in our car and go to Joplin and do whatever we can to help. And so the two of them jump in their car at Rick's leading, who refused to go to church in the past, and the same old guy. He leads Mike to go to Joplin, and they do rescue work and rebuilding stuff. And then Rick now has an adventure, and it's because he listened to Mike and he decided to follow Jesus. Mike has an adventure. He has friends who have an adventure because of him, and it's because he follows Jesus. There's another lady named Patricia. And Patricia showed up at our church real early on, so probably 10, 11, 12 years ago. And her husband had just left her. And she had a couple girls, ugly situation. Her life was a mess, and it's kind of like, oh, this is bad. But Patricia followed Jesus, and her life started to turn around, and some really cool things have happened. In fact, some of you have met Patricia's daughter, Elizabeth, who is here. She has decided to move to Papua New Guinea, where she is going to help the people there and translate the Bible for the first time ever into the language of the people who live there. That's Patricia's daughter who came out of this really messy situation. But Patricia, unbeknownst to me, I just found out about it, has been saving up money for a while, and she just bought a little old apartment building, which she moved into, and she's transforming that apartment building into a shelter for battered women. Man. Patricia decided to follow Jesus, and what he gave her was an adventure. And the same would be true for you. Jesus is calling you to follow him, and what he's offering you is life, full, abundant life. And he says, man, I will rip you out of that same old routine where you feel like you have no purpose and no meaning and no excitement, and I will give you an adventure, just like a vacation. The other thing that vacations are great for is they're relaxing, right? We said, you know, it's just like you kind of get everything off you. Here's what I've noticed. Tell me if I'm wrong. Like, when you go on vacation, like when you walk out your house, right, to get in the car, to go to the airport, isn't it like, don't you have this kind of like, right? When you go on vacation, even if it's just for a day or two, and you just feel like, yes, you know, I don't need to worry about the dripping faucet, the stack of bills, the nagging boss, whatever. And it's just like, I'm not even going to think about that. I'm going to have fun. I'm relaxing. I'm leaving all that behind. And it is a great feeling, right? True? Yeah. But have you noticed that when you're done with vacation, you get back in the car, back in the airplane, and you go home, what's waiting for you at the front door? all your problems, right? And all the stress and all the work. And you're like, the faucet's still leaking. The bills are still sitting there. My boss is still a jerk. Like, it's like nothing. It's nice. I got a temporary reprieve. You know, I got a couple days. I got a week away from all that. And we need that. We need to relax and decompress. But when you go back, it's like, it's a very temporary solution for our problems, right? Here's what I found. When you say yes to following Jesus, what happens is that you get that same sort of sense of relaxation that you do from getting on a vacation, but it happens in a deeper way and in a much more permanent kind of abiding way than it does through a vacation. Here's how Jesus describes it. Here's the offer he's making to you. So this is in Matthew chapter 11. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. By the way, if you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free. So we have a thing called the Velcro Bar. It's our connecting place. If you have questions, if you want to get connected, anything, if you want to start serving here or whatever. But we also give out free Bibles back there. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says this to you. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." A yoke is an instrument that connects two animals. It partners animals up so they can work together. So Jesus is saying, let's partner together. Like let's kind of have this relationship that binds us together in a sense. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What Jesus is saying is, he's saying, listen, I'm not going to remove your problems. I'm not going to remove the things that stress you out and make you worry. But what I will do is, I'll help you carry them. I'll help you carry them. And it will make all the difference for you. God offers us this. There's another point in the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter, where God says, "Cast all your cares on me, because I care for you." Whatever it is that stresses you out, whatever it is that you worry about, give it to me, cast it on me, and I will help you to carry that burden. And then here's what God says he'll give you. In the book of Philippians, he says that he will give you a peace that passes understanding. A peace that passes understanding. The idea being, like, even in the midst of stress, even in the midst of problems, even with your financial debt and your struggling marriage and your rebellious kid, whatever it is, that you will have this peace. If you're really following Jesus, if you're authentically walking with God, that you have this peace that passes understanding. You won't understand it. You'll be like, man, this is really stressful stuff, but I'm just not stressed out the way I used to would have been from it. There's just something that I have, like, an inner peace despite the troubles. I got to be honest. I hesitate to say that because it just sounds to me like so trite. You know, it sounds like such church talk. You know, like, hey, you'll have problems, but you'll be able to smile through them because God will be with you. And so I hesitate to say it because I hate sounding that way. The reason I have to say it is because it's true. Like, it's actually true. So, like, I've been doing ministry, being a pastor, whatever, for I don't know how many years now. And what I've noticed is that I have seen people go through everything, everything. Husbands leaving, teenagers dying in car accidents, babies dying of SIDS, houses burning down with every possession they own, cancer. I've seen people go through things I wouldn't tell you about because it's too disturbing for you to know, and I wish it wasn't in my brain. I've seen people go through everything. And what I've noticed is that people who are truly following Jesus, I mean, they're really partnered up with him, right? And they're walking with God, that they go through those problems with a peace that I just can't understand. And neither can they. I'm not saying that they're like, it's okay, it's God's plan, it's fine. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, they're saying, no, this sucks. Like, I hate that I'm having to go through this, and I don't want it. But I just have this peace that it's okay, and then I can handle this, and I don't understand why I do. And it's because that's what happens when you follow Jesus. I mean, Speaking of the problems that we go through, let me just hang out here for a minute, because I want to make sure you don't misinterpret my theory. So my theory is that following Jesus is kind of like going on a lifelong vacation. And when you hear that, you might think that what I mean is you won't have any problems, and it will never be boring. Every day will be this great, peaceful, wild adventure. That's not what I'm saying. Because when you think about it, vacations have boring parts, and they have problems, right? Every vacation has some boring parts. Like that first trip we went to Disney years ago, we drove from Virginia Beach to Orlando, 12-hour drive. That's a boring drive. But because we were on vacation, there was something different about it. It was like boredom with excitement, boredom with expectancy. It was like, man, it's boring, but we know we're going to something good, so it's worth it to be bored, right? When we got there were times we would have to wait for like, I don't know, 20 minutes for Space Mountain. And it's boring to stand in a line for 20 minutes, but it was okay because it was boredom with a purpose. You know, it's not just boredom. It's boredom because we're waiting for something really good to happen. It's going to be fun. And so it's worth it to go through the boredom, right? See, there's boredom. There's still boring times when you follow Jesus, but there's something different about it. When you really follow Jesus, it's boredom with expectancy. It's boredom with purpose. It's like we're waiting, but we know there's something good coming. We know because we're in an adventure. And so I can handle the boredom because I know where I'm going. There's also problems when you go on a vacation. There's always problems, right? Some are benign, some not so much. Like, so that trip to Disney, right? I bought this book, and I literally spend I don't know how many hours trying to understand logarithms and planning out exactly what we're going to do. And so we get there to the park like an hour before the doors open, which is what you're supposed to do, and we're at the gate. Like, we're the first people in line, and pretty quickly, thousands of people show up. If you're the type who, like, get there 3 hours after the park opens, you don't know, thousands of people are there an hour early, all ready to go in because they all read the same book. And so we're at the gate, thousands of people behind us, and they open the gate, and we just start running. I got like a five-year-old daughter who's like, Daddy! And I'm like, get in line, come on, move it. And so we're running, and it's awesome because everybody's behind us. And this is like, yes, the plan is working to perfection, and we are all going for the same ride because we've all read the same book, and we know that's the ride that's going to have the huge lines later. So you do that first, get rid of that one, and then you go to the second biggest one. You kind of follow this pattern. And so we're all running to the same ride, and I'm like, we're going to be the first ones in line. We'll do that one, and then we're going to do the next one, and we're going to hit all with no lines. And so we're running with, like, the sense of, like, joy, and yes. And then I look back, and I see that the entire line, all the thousands of people, have all taken a right. And we're still going straight, all by ourselves. I'm like, wait a second. And so there's a Mickey Mouse employee there, and I grab him and shake him with his ears falling off. And I said, isn't the big ride that way? And he said, no, it's that way. It points to where everybody else was going. And I realized I'd blown the entire plan, all the planning for nothing. Like, it was a problem. It was like, really? We got here an hour early for this. Vacations always have problems. They always do, right? Last week, so we went to Raleigh for a couple of days and hang out with my wife's family. And then we rented a car to drive up to Virginia Beach. We're going to stay at our friend's house. The next morning, return the car. We were borrowing a friend's car for the rest of the week, so we didn't have to pay for rental all week. And so we drive from Raleigh to Virginia Beach. We get to our friend's house. We park. We go in. We're hanging out, catching up with them. And then the husband, father, says, oh, I got to run pick up Thomas from soccer practice. So he runs out of the house. We're sitting there talking to everybody else in the family. When 2 minutes later, he walks in and he says, hey, Vince. And I said, hey. And he said, I just hit your rental car. And I said, is it bad? And he said, yup. And so we go out there, and we realize that he has knocked the bumper off of our rental car. It's like, you knocked the bumper off. So we call the rental place, and we're like, hey, we rented this car. We're supposed to return it in the morning. The bumper got knocked off. Can you guys just come and, like, tow it to the rental place? And they're like, no, you have to return it. We're like, okay, it's drivable. We can return it. Is it okay if we just throw out the bumper? I mean, it's toasted. And they say, no, we need the bumper. And I'm like, okay, there's a problem. The bumper won't fit in the car. Like, just period. And we've got four people and suitcases in the car. The bumper won't fit. And they're like, you have to bring the bumper. So we end up in the middle of the night with me holding a flashlight and my friend using zip ties to tie the bumper onto the car. It's quite creative, and it worked. But it was a problem. And here's the deal. Every vacation has problems. Okay? So when I say that following Jesus is like going on vacation, I'm not saying there's no problems. You'll still have problems. But tell me if you don't agree with this. When you go on a vacation and you have problems, there's something different about them than the problems that you experience in regular life. There's something different. What I found is if I go through all the vacations I've ever been on and think about the problems, they're all stories that we talk about and laugh at now. It's like, oh, yeah, remember? We were driving down there and the tire blew. And you laugh about the problems that you had on vacation. I never laugh about the problems I have in regular life. And I've tried for a while to figure out what that is. Like, why is it that there's something so different about the problems that I experience on vacation? I don't know. I've got some theories. I'll hit you real quick. One is, I wonder if maybe it's because, like, when you're on vacation, you're on a mission. Like, you have a purpose. You know what you're doing. And so, yes, the problem is an interruption of your purpose, but you still have that purpose. You know, it's still like, we're going to get back on track, and we're going to get going. Maybe that's why. Or it could be because when you're on vacation, typically you're not alone. You got friends or you got family. And so even though we're experiencing a problem, we're experiencing it together. We can laugh about it. Later we know we'll tell stories about it and how bad it was. Maybe it's because we're together. I don't know. Or maybe it's because a vacation has like a start and a finish. And so when I think about the problem, I can kind of view it in context of the entire vacation. But when I have a problem in my regular life, which doesn't feel like as it's starting to finish, this is like another problem. There's always problems. But in a vacation, it's like, well, it's one problem, but we have a vacation we're on, right? So here's the deal. Following Jesus, I think it's like a vacation, still has problems, okay? But there's something different about the problems and the boring moments. There's something different. I've just found that after I started following Jesus, the problems I have feel different. I talk about them different. I laugh about them with people, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I have a sense of purpose now. I didn't used to. And so, yes, the problems are annoying because they interrupt my purpose, my mission, but I just get back to my purpose. And so it's like, well, this stinks, but I've got something to get back to. Before, it was like, when I had a problem, it's just like, this is life. This is my life. It's a problem. Well, now it's not. It's like, problems interrupt my purpose. I got a purpose. Or maybe it's because when you start following Jesus, you get like a family. Like you get these people who start to do life with you. And so it's like, yeah, we have problems, but we can talk about it. We can share the problems. We can laugh about the problems. And maybe. Or maybe it's because since I started following Jesus, I realized, man, life has like this start and this finish. And then there's something way better after. There's like eternity of good. And so when I go through a problem, it used to be, it felt like it was everything. It was just like, I got obsessed with my problem. Like, this is life. It's everything. You know, it's just, but now it's like, you know what? It's not everything. Well, like life has had a start and it has a finish. And then I've got eternity. And this problem isn't that big when I look at it in context. I don't know. I'm not sure why. But I do know that there is something very different about the boring parts and the problems that you experience when you're following Jesus. So that's my theory. My theory, for sure, Jesus is calling you to follow him. My theory is that when you start to think, well, what does that look like? It looks a lot like going on a lifelong vacation. The word verve, our name of our church, it means passionate, enthusiastic life. And so we could say it's like going on a lifelong vervecation. That Jesus offers you life. And that life that he offers you might look a lot like a vacation. That it's this life that gives you the sense of expectancy and hope for the future. And it pulls you out of your same old routine because you're on a journey now. And you get an adventure. And yeah, there are still boring parts and there are still problems. But there's something critically different about them and your ability to handle them. And you just have the sense of peace even when you're in the junk. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that Jesus is calling you to follow him. Like if you met Jesus, he would not come up to you and say, hey, I'm Jesus, believe in me. It's not what he would do. And if you say, I do believe in him, he'd say, that's not what I asked. He would not come up to you and say, hey, would you put your faith in me? You might say, I have put my faith in him. It's not what he asked. If Jesus met you just like everybody he met with when he lived here on earth, what he would say is, hey, I'm Jesus, follow me. And I just wonder if maybe some of you are stuck in that same old. And if you were real honest today, you'd say, it's not funny. It's not funny. Like my life, it is. It's the same old every day. And I have no hope of ever escaping from it. This is what I'm stuck in. And I want out, but I don't know what out looks like. I don't know what it is. And I'm just stuck. Like, I've got all these problems and all this stuff, and I just keep doing the same thing over and over. I'm stuck. And Jesus is like, yeah, come follow me. And I will rip you out of that routine, and I will give you an adventure. And who knows what would happen? Who knows the plans and the future that God has for you? But Jesus is calling you to follow him to that. Amen. Our church is all about that. Our church is all about trying to figure out, what does it look like? What does it look like to have a relationship with God? What does it look like to follow Jesus? What does it look like to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down? And if you have questions about that, maybe you're someone who's your whole life, you're like, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But maybe today you're realizing, I believe, but I don't follow. I'm a believer, but I'm not a follower. And that's why I'm stuck. That's why I'm stuck in the same old, same old. That's why I don't have an adventure. Well, if that's you, man, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to answer questions you have. We can get together somewhere else. We get together out in the lobby. There's people at the Velcro Bar who'd love to talk to you. They can answer your questions and just kind of walk the journey, help you figure out what's your next step. So let's pray. And after we pray, we're going to give you just a little commercial for the series we're starting next week. God, I'm so grateful that that you ask us to do more than just believe. When you really look at all of this, at the evidence for Jesus and the Bible and all of it, I think it's not that difficult to come to a point of belief. But I don't think belief transforms a life. I don't think that faith really dramatically changes who we are and where we're going. It's following that does. And so I'm so grateful that your call to us is to follow you. And God, I just wonder if maybe that looks a lot like a vacation, and we love vacations. Maybe the life that we've always dreamt of, the life we say, man, if I hit the lottery, I would go on vacation. Maybe what we're really looking for is to follow Jesus. God, my prayer is that each person in this room would come to a point in their life where they decide, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe for some of us, today's the day. You know, we need to talk to somebody about that before we leave. God, would you help us to make that decision, to really understand what it looks like to follow you, and then to do it, to follow you into the adventure that you have for our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.